But a couple of frames we've already looked at, so when you see them, I have modified them, and so that they're even a little bit different than they were when we started. But I wish you'd just tell yourself how great you want to really be in Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've touched the hem of his garment several times, and I've got wonderful memories logged, but my memories are not as great as my vision. I'm looking at more than ever, and that's where I'm headed, and hopefully will take most of us with us. So did y'all get that? Okay. Does that mean it's coming? I looked up there and he looked at me and he went. Don't we have some great techs? I'm a T-E-C-H. It's wonderful working with that, and I know they have to have a nightmare working with me because all that stuff is, I'm not real computer savvy. But I will have us do this as that screen comes up. I don't want to start into it and then have to back up. But I want us to tell ourselves and tell your neighbor, in God we still trust. I mean, in God we still trust. It is so easy to want to trust flesh. It's so easy to want to trust the wisdom of this world. It is so easy to want to trust in people that look like success. And green looks like success to this world. It's an amazing thing that all of this stuff is going on in our world right now, and people still can't seem to see through the light. I want to say it, it's written on the first frame, but there's not a more intellectual mind than the one who created the weather outside. Now, we may not like it, but I'm telling you, it's the Lord that's creating that stuff out there. Now, it's our job to put up with it without getting too mad, without getting too discouraged. But it is the Lord that made you look so ugly. Well, you keep telling everybody you're not good looking, so I just decided to agree with you. Some of you just not going to smile, are you? Trying my best to help you break the monotony of life. It is the Lord that gave and the Lord that takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, we don't like that. I don't like half of the weather he sends at the right and wrong time. I don't like half of the way I look. I want to be able to eat and stay skinny. I can tell this lesson's not going to get too deep tonight. It is amazing how that we, on one side, think about him being so great, and on the other side, don't like his greatness showing up. Come and let us eat together. I promise you that Harvard is not turning out minds that are greater than the word. I can tell you that the money barons are not turning out greater than what God has afforded you. I can tell you there's not a wisdom or genius mind anywhere that could put their mind on paper, leave it on there for 6,000 years, and never have to change it. Men and women are so fickle. Years ago, I heard them say the greatest people was alive. And now they're saying those people are no longer great. Just help me a little. And this heaven and this earth, he spoke it. accomplish this thing. And that's to copy the one who is the greatest. Now the world don't really appreciate all that. The Antichrist, one of the greatest rulers in this world, and only for a short time yet, the Antichrist has hosted notable men and women and having risen to rule other humans. May we evaluate the greatest ruler of life's victories and defeats. The greatest ruler of life's victories and defeats is the one who went to the cross and proved to us that he could handle death greater than any other doctor or great mind. He knew how to handle it, and that's overcome it. Just be greater than your problem. And he showed us the greatest problem was what we call death. And he said, I'm going to show you how to overcome it. Die out to flesh, and your spirit will bring a brand new body out of the graveyard, and you will be in Christ a new creature. This is huge, folks. Please don't forfeit your right to become one with that kind of fabulous thinking. There's no thought pattern that gets close to a realization that by dying out in the flesh and living in the Holy Ghost, that all of a sudden what they stuff in some dark dungeon is going to come out and be everlasting life. It's you. But he didn't just say it, he proved it. God, the Lord God, who gives them over to a reprobate mind, Romans 1:28. And it's the smart brains that can create cars and can create astronaut type life and can create all that stuff. They get to thinking they can put God on a shelf and act like his brain is dead. He's not brain dead, and his weather proves the point. Not one of those great minds can control what's happening out there right now. But God, who is greater than everything, is in control of all of it. And the great minds say, well, we'll figure out a way someday how to handle it. They're not going to figure it out. Men love darkness rather than light because of one reason. Their deeds are evil. It is an evil mind that thinks it can bring its own future into existence. It is a destitute thought that a man can absolutely have a perfect life with gobs of money and all kind of surroundings that would prove a point to some. He's got success by the handle. I want to tell you got life by the handle. You don't have success conquered. It is in you to privilege to host the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the glory giver, and the power source of heaven and earth can dwell right in you. I see that can sound like just good preaching. It can be like entertainment. You can just get to feeling like, man, I feel God. No, you got to serve God. Not enough to feel God. I see people all the time feel God. Well, man, we know we had a great church because we felt God. Until you serve God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not giving up on me. I'm not giving up on my kids. I'm not giving up on our city. I'm not giving up on our USA. I am not giving up on foreign countries. We are going to help change our world. Not with our thoughts, but with his thoughts. They are phenomenal. My desire for your future has led me into places, thoughts, and I talked about that a little the other night, and so I'm not going to talk about it anymore, but I'm going to tell you, when he says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, he's serious. And it was through one of those, and I will quote this again because it has meant so much to so many, and perhaps one or two of you missed it. It was through a horrible trial that I was going through many, many years ago, and God broke open that scripture, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which you have come to try you, because when you come forth, you shall come forth with gold or as gold. And here's the quotation God gave me. And that is, through every dark tunnel of circumstances God allows you to go through, He has hidden certain treasures that only the person going through that particular dark tunnel has the opportunity of finding. As you go through that tunnel of darkness with the light of the world, it will shine on wisdom or victory that you could not have gotten anywhere else. And He had it hid in your dark valley. That's why in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because in the valley of the shadow, God has hidden resurrection power. God has hidden healing power. God has hidden victorious spirits. And I'm telling you, you're not going through anything He hadn't already tasted and developed a holy power to get you through it and get you out of it. We can only quote it. But He created it. So God, I know, says misbehavior of all mankind can be changed. I don't care how bad your past has been, where you've lived. I mean, you may have drug a truckload of junk in your brain into this Wednesday night Bible study, and before you leave here, God can have all the angels clean every bit of that out, and you can dump it in the grave of death, and then you can walk out of here with a hope that is just as alive as somebody that's been going to this house for 30 or 40 years. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though there be gods many, there's only one. He showed Himself in over approximately 1,000 different ways. He's still the lily of the valley. He's still the bright and morning star. He's still the rose of Sharon. He was the pillar of cloud by day. He was the pillar of fire by night. I'm telling you, He has manifested Himself however He wants to manifest Himself. He came to Abraham's tent as a man, a theophany. He looked like a man, but it was the Lord Himself. But He took upon Himself one body, and that through a virgin, because He wanted to taste everything you could possibly go through, Sister Jane. And so He was tempted in all points, such as we. Have you ever been tempted to quit church? The one who has no doorway back in. He wouldn't do anything. I've heard preachers say this, and so in error. The devil won't get within 1,000 miles of an apostolic service. And as a preacher, I've gotten so mad at some people because they wouldn't just come to the altar, almost lost my victory. They're going through all kind of hell. We offer them a place to get rid of it, and they walk out the door as lonely as they were when they came in. And I'm thinking, man, where is wrong with you? And I want to go out there and trip them. Not right for preachers to do that. I've gotten angry at people. Wanted to mouth off to them right in God's house, right after a Holy Ghost service. I've heard of people gossiping in a church service. So being in His presence doesn't mean you're serving Him, is what the point is. As a thief in the night, this God. Just as one day you see things out in the field, next day you come by and the harvester has come while you were gone. And all the corn's gone, all the cotton's gone, and the church is about to be gone. Somebody say, I want to be in the number. We used to sing an old song about that. I want to be redeemed. I want to be ready. And that's what your pastor's trying his best to do in this service tonight. Look at all these great people. Pope Francis, Mr. Berkshire, Aung San Suu Kyi. All these people are helping to shape the world you and your kids are living in. There are things that were put into place as each one of them paraded through varied areas of leadership that we're having to tolerate now because we didn't send a man of God up there. With as many churches in our world as are there, there is no reason that we've got to put up with lying and cheating and whoremongering and all of that stuff leading a nation that started in God we trust. Well, let me tell you something. Those people that came over here and settled the USA, they were not at ease in life. They sacrificed. Nowadays, people want everybody else to do the sacrificing. But Jesus showed us that the people who count are those who care. And in the book of Habakkuk or Haggai, he said, mark those who sigh and cry for the abomination of desolation. Have you ever seen a country that's being led by more desolation as far as godly leadership than we are now? Well, I'm not going to try to kill those guys because I was one of them. Jesus' blood finally flowed to where I was living, and his word finally got to the brain I had, and thank God he saved me, and I'm going to give my life the best I can to trying to help anybody whosoever will. I want to give it everything I got in these last few days, and I want to train us to be the pit bulls of the cross. Now, one of my friends recently went on a hog hunt. A hog hunt. And here's the way it works. You got two or three pit bulldogs, and they grab the hogs by the nose and the ear. And then the hunter, after the pit bulls do their work, he comes in with a knife and he jumps on top of the pig in the middle of the pit bulls and comes in and stabs his heart. Now that's got to be victory. When you jump between two pit bulls and a running hog, I told him, I said, man, I can get a whole lot of excitement in a lot of different vineyards. But that one is wild. I'm here to encourage us tonight. The greatest excitement in the world is to crucify the flesh, because only then can God do his big work. If you want to do something exciting, get rid of evil imaginations. Because I'm telling you, it is evil to think God don't love you. It is evil to think God's not going to lift your name up in the city when you sacrifice and serve him. It is evil to think that God doesn't love you and care about you. That's why the devil is so busy trying to do everything he can, and even at church, trying to tell us. And it's so evil when he tries to rob us before we ever get the word hid in our heart so we don't violate the will of God for our life. That's what it means to sin against the Lord. We violate the will of God. I'm telling you, it is the will of God for you to walk into tomorrow with perfect peace. It is the will of God for you to do that. People and spirits. Now, I want to get it straight, because this next part of this slide here is going to be a little weird. So prepare yourself. But I'm going to show you the prince and the ruler of this world that's really leading. Those are just the facade. They are the front door of a world of iniquity. Their power is no greater than your flesh power. But when they receive the spirit of the Antichrist into their life, they can do things that are phenomenal. So, there it is. Those are not real humans. And that's the picture that your world created. I went on their website to find demons, to find what demonic forces look like. And the world who created TV and all of the junk and the garbage that's pouring into the minds of people that could have the mind of Christ, being filled with that. Our little kids, what are they made to believe when Superman can heal? And then they're not told God's the one that created everything. We cannot afford to let that happen. They've got to hear about life that the Holy Ghost is given. They've got to hear about a life that the mind of God produces. They've got to hear about a life where the glory of the Lord is the greatest thing in the whole wide world. If you let them play with all those toys, be sure and tell them that those toys represent this world's imagination of a great God, and use that realization and tell them, but the God we go to the house of God to hear about, he is a real God, and he got out of a real grave, and these guys never went in a grave and got out, and they are making you have a mindset that there are heroes in our world that can salvage this world. I'm telling you, only the blood, the name, and the word of the God, Lord, is going to salvage anybody out of this world. And that's why we come to these Bible studies, and we get our inspiration and our dedication and our commitment together, and we say, I'm going to face off with you, world, and I'm coming at you, world, and you're not taking me under. I know what's driving all that money stuff. It's not the Christ. Never forget, if God be for us, I wish you'd hug your wife or husband and say, if God's for us, who can be against us? And he proved he was for us. Nobody ever did what he did. And then, no, very few do now what he did. And he said, come unto me. And he didn't say, bring all your gold and silver. He said, come unto me, you who are weary. You're laden down with thoughts. You're filled with an oppressive situation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will find my consolation spiritually. You will find my consolation in the Word. You will find my consolation in those who live in the redeemed. All he wants you to do for it, all he wants you to do is praise his name. He said, you can praise me in a dance. You can praise me in a loud sounding voice. You can praise me with the tinkling with the cymbals. You can praise me with the harp. You can praise me with just your life. Serving me will glorify my name. And they will look at you and say, well, you're weird. They killed weird, so they thought. He didn't fit in their religious systems. He didn't fit in all their chicanery. He did not fit in all their hypocrisy. He did not fit. He was Mr. Weird. And they said, we got to get rid of weird. So don't think it strange when he said, you're going to be a peculiar people, that you should show forth my praises. Whew, I feel a shout coming on. Anybody want to share it with me? Go ahead. Just lift his name up in a shout. A peculiar people that praise God in the middle of the night. Praise God in the middle of a sickness. Praise God in the middle of a dilemma. Praise God in the jailhouse. Praise God in the jailhouse. Did you hear me? When you think everything's closing in on you, praise the name of the Lord. When you feel like you're headed into a fiery furnace, serve the Lord with gladness. When you feel like the lions are about to eat you up, praise the name of the Lord and look at the heavens and say, God, I didn't start out to serve you for all the benefits of the flesh. I started out to serve you because you are the only one who has life by the handle. Oh, I wish you'd just shout with somebody. I mean, I don't mean dance around right now. I mean, just shout it out loud. Thank you for inviting me into this. Thank you for letting me get to be a part of this. Thank you for letting me share this kind of wisdom. Thank you for letting me share this kind of mental intellectualism. Thank you, God, that you have given me the benefit of being weird. It ought to be one of the greatest thrills in the world to dress godly and talk godly and to act godly in a world where there's all kind of hypocrisy and all of those evil spirits are running right through the religious systems and they don't even know it. When you can hate anybody on this earth, that one of those demons is controlling that spirit. And our body is like that screen up there. That's what our body is. And our body conveys what spirit is controlling our brain and our thought patterns and our lifestyle.
Brother Mar, I don't like to hear that. That sounds negative to me.
It's the most positive thing you've ever heard all day. But I promise you, if you understand when you lie, a spirit, one of those demons, has got you by the throat. When you can live a hypocritical life, one of those demons has got you by the throat. He said, this is the way you're going to know that you're my child and that you have love one for another.
Now you can look in the mirror and think, because I do this and because I do that and get all that pride going,
because we're greater. No. He said, if you don't love your neighbor and love your enemies and love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, all the rest of it is hypocrisy. And you're being controlled by spirits that are not light. Ladies and gentlemen, it's way too late for us to play games with it. It ought to be the heartbeat of every soul. I got to get to the house of God. I got to get washed, because the preaching of the word is the washing of the water by the word. And it's what cleanses our thoughts from all this little junk. Spirit rules the soul. The one word, spirit. Somebody say spirit. You see in the T there, it's one letter in that word spirit that contaminates any spirit. And I take you to the word of God. The Bible said one dead fly in the ointment of the apothecary causes the whole thing to stink. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the lust of the spirit. Nobody can do that for me. A preacher can help me, teach me into that and preach me into that, but there's only one person that can take me to Calvary and get anything done, and that's me. I've got to surrender me. I've got to give him all of my life. I've got to give him everything. Or it's a contaminated spirit, and it is called religious stuff. And so when you hear Jesus walk to this world with all the religion going on, he said, I came here for one reason. And a little poor lady with sickness in her family comes to him and begging for help. And he said, ma'am, let me just tell you something. I didn't come to you. I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was talking about the religious systems that had erred from the way. And he said, it's not right for me to come out here and heal you and you not have a church house to go to and a religious leaders to go to that can't direct your paths. He said, they're all off track and I got to get them back on track before I start putting some of y'all in the kingdom. And I'm here to tell you tonight, God is using this church and some of you, he is already using you. And the reason you're going through so much trying times is because God's making an example out of you to show them that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we're not caving in because we got problems. We're not caving. We got to live in a world that's got problems. We're not caving in because we've got leaders that are being led by demonic spirits. We're going to raise up the blood, the name, and the word in our voice. And the same God that created the heaven and the earth by the voice of his word, we're going to create hope and glory and courage in the streets of this city and in every one of our homes. We're going to start talking the blood of Jesus, the lamb slain that got out of the grave, the one that forgave us of all our sins and headed us in the right direction. There's somebody ought to be shouting every night you go to bed. Somebody ought to be shouting every morning you get up, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If the word is in you, if the blood is over you, and the name is in you, let me tell you, you've got weapons that the devil can't come up with stuff against. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me give you a little hint about something about following the Spirit of the Lord. If you wake up in the middle of the night and there's a thought, don't if it has to do with God, just be aware that God's really there, because his word don't just show up. And so if you wake up in the middle of the night or during the day, whatever, don't just dismiss that and say, well, let it go. If you had a thought about money coming your way, don't do less for his word. Because here's what I want to tell you. What I have found out in my lifetime is that God gains entrance to your heart through a subject of his that fits often where you are. But that's not where he plans to take you. That's just where he's starting you from. Because if he can get your interest at all in a thought, that thought's probably going to lead to another thought. And so if it's a scripture, go look up that scripture, because more than likely there is more in that scripture than just that thought. And then that next thought is going to come to you out of the scripture, and you're going to follow that one, and you're going to find a word in it that leads to another scripture. And the first thing you know, you're going to find yourself following that, and all of a sudden you're going to realize you got out of the dilemma. I can't tell you how many times that's it. And sometimes I get just totally tickled. Thank you. I get totally tickled. And I think, God, you're just so phenomenal. You said if we would follow you, you would lead us. And the main thought that you first got a hold of may not be the answer. It may be the little bread on the trail that's like the bird or the squirrel that's got a cage over here that's got something in it's going to fall. And he's not going to trap you. He's going to protect you in that. See, for the squirrel, it's a cage and a prison. But for the owner, it's a choice and it's a jewel. Did any of you ever do squirrel trapping or anything like that? It was fun. Catch those little squirrels and feed them and play with them. All right. This thing's about to come back alive. By faith. We will discover spiritual salvation in this life for glorifying the Lord. Much of our world, including religious systems, has become so focused on what they want from God, they fail to see the absolutes as critical to what we need from God. He said, I know my thoughts. And then he said, I know what you have need of. And then we turn around and say, well, this is what I need. He said, I know what you need. Well, but this is what I want. No, I know what you have need of. So he's going to send the trial that will block you like Balaam's donkey from going further that way, because your wants are not what he is going to supply. He said, I will supply all of your need according to my riches in glory. And so anytime you serve self more than you serve God, you get more of self than you get of God. That's good teaching in any church. The Lord God talks about the gods that men created in the Old Testament. When we take notes and see hundreds of religious systems that have a little bit of God, but they tag it to more things of the world than they do the Lord of glory, you can see those same tendencies in the flesh of the church age. He said, I'm going to just clue you in. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. Now that should be a study for any spiritual human. Because when you saw all those spirits that were in those people that are leading, let me just back up and tell you it again, because some of you were, you missed the lesson. Money is unparalleled power in most cases. If you can, if you got a lot of money, you can buy silence. If you've got a lot of money, you can buy a whole lot of stuff that will thrill this stuff right here. And when you have a lot of money, you walk into a store and there's, hello, Mr. What's your name? You got money. They will bend and bow. But money has no spiritual authority. The blood, the name, the Holy Ghost is greater than having a big fancy thing in this world. I'm telling you, none of the above is going to get us out. It's nice to have a nice warm house, but I'm going to tell you what nice is to have a heart that's filled with Jesus Christ. Could anybody thank him again? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this setting, look, when you see these things come to pass, look up. Don't look around and curse what's going on. Look up. Don't look around and get to feeling bad, because this, let me tell you something, life, sickness, things, some money, lack of money, has been happening for hundreds of years. But I'll tell you what all else is happening in the middle of that. There have been people that died in the faith. And all you got to do is go to Hebrews 11. And these people that died in the faith are about to come more alive than you have ever imagined in your life. And they're fixing to populate heaven. That's why we used to sing, I want to be in the number when the roll is called up yonder. I want to be there. And I want you to be there, Eric. And I want you to be there, Alton. And I want you to be there, Jeff. And I want you to take your wife with you, would you? Work hard at it. There may be days it's not so easy. How about it, Mama? You want to take your mama with you? You want to take your son with you? Pray. Pray every day. Not my will, but thine be done. Pray every day. Father, have your way in my life. Father, talk to me. You want to take your wife with you? Go ahead and pray. Seek the face of God. Don't you go try to do it with your mind. And don't you try to manipulate people with your mind. You manipulate this whole world with the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm telling you, there is no mentality as strong as the power of the Holy Ghost in a home. Turn him loose in that house. Let the praises of God be heard all day in that house. Thank you, Jesus, for the food. Thank you, Jesus, for a car. Even if it breaks down, thank you that we're going to be able to get it fixed next month. Am I going to get a little raise next year? And we'll get us another one. That's your chance to go to the glory world. That's your chance for a new body. We're all shocked at the simplicity of the gospel. By faith, somebody quote Acts 2:38. Let me give you a prelude to Acts 2:38. Let me help you to help people. Because so often we just quote that one. But you got to understand that from verse 14 in Acts the second chapter, the preacher got up and started preaching. And when he preached all the way down to verse 36. And the things he said include everything that you can think of concerning Christendom. And when he got to verse 36, he took a breath. And while he was trying to take a breath, the people he's preaching to said, "What should we do?" Having heard this whole message, they heard a message. They didn't hear just Acts 2:38. They heard preaching about the end time, and the heavens shall be turned into blood, and the heavens shall have this, and this shall happen, and all of this, and you gotta believe in the Lord. And he just talked about everything. But when he got to the end of his message, the crowd looking at him said, "Well, what shall we do?" And then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he exhort, and saying to them people, "Save yourself, because I can't save you, but I can tell you the path, and you're going to have to get it for yourself." It don't get any more simple. It doesn't become more plain how you can get into this. But just because you got in doesn't mean you're going to live it. And that's what I see a lot of people do. They get baptized and they get the Holy Ghost and they sit down and they make it look like a front. He said, "This is the power of God unto salvation. And you're going to be a witness when this happens." How can you be a witness when there's no power there over terroristic thoughts? This spirit is going to quicken your mortal body. Well, if it's going to quicken your mortal body one day, if it's not quickening it against lies and cheatings and all the other junk that's going on in our world and in religious systems, it's going to quicken it against anything that would put you in a spiritual prison. And you're going to be free because you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free, and the Holy Ghost is going to lead and guide you into all truth, which means every truth the Holy Ghost leads you into to serve the Lord in, it's going to free you from some incarceration that the devil had planned for you. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You've been locked up too long. You need to look at truth and say, "Look here, I'm coming out of my dilemma. I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving His Word. I'm serving His Spirit. I'm not just going to church and being a church member. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got Jesus inside of me, and He can cast out any demon." We got to get over this thing. God's not going to twist. I mean, I could pray till the heavens turn red, and He's not going to make this guy serve Him.
We're not going to make anybody serve God. But it's going to be hard for you to believe that when the devil's after me and you see me up here still living in victory, you're going to, my God, he's either totally nuts or he's got something going on. When your kids see you overcoming a trial, they're going to say, Mama, I don't know how you did it. I don't know. Somebody hated you and you just turned that around and made it a pedestal and you climbed on top of the hate and you're bigger in my eyes than you have ever been in your life because you didn't return evil for evil. You returned goodness for evil, and which is what Jesus is doing for every one of us. If we got the Holy Ghost, if we've got the name of Jesus, if we've got a future, I'm telling you, it was Jesus. It wasn't your own good look. Had to work today. Somebody say Christ. Somebody say God in flesh learned obedience. That is huge. Faith obeys when it don't know how it all works. There's not very many of us that understand how in your little travel trailer, you can turn on gas and light a fire and the refrigerator get cold. For years, I look at this, you gotta be nuts. It don't make sense. Neither does it make sense to die out to your flesh so you can have the glory of the Lord. But it works. Some of you want me to hurry. I hope you got it. We're not coming back. You notice the word imagine, it has to do with an image. And it's so easy in a trial, in a zest, an appetite, to get an image of what you think success is, or to get an image of why you're having to go through something. And the devil's one of the quickest ones to go pick up something in your past, dangle it in your eyes, and I say, that's how come you're having trouble. Let me tell you why you're having trouble. The prince of darkness and all of his little demons are in your everyday. And if you don't have a good light so you can see what kind of spirit it is, first thing you know, you just start sagging. And you say, I don't feel like going to church tonight. All he's going to do is try to preach me into something better. And I know I don't deserve anything better. I did wrong. A little bit of tear let me down. Don't listen to those voices. Any spirit that does not confess that Christ is Lord and that he is forgiveness and he is mercy and he loves you with an everlasting love. Any voice that tells you anything outside of that is a demon. Any voice that tells you you cannot live a godly life is a lying spirit. The musicians are racing to the front to give you some relief from this oppressor that's pressing against any spirit that don't belong in your house.
where he leads me, I will follow. Me, I will follow. I wish somebody would dig your heart right up into it. Me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. Once again, where he leads, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I wish you'd sing it with your heart. Where to him. I got some kids that are watching me. I got some neighbors that are watching me. I'm not going to make God look bad. Sing it again, sweetheart.
Oh, where he leads
me, I will follow. Oh, that's it. Whatever it takes. I don't want some demon running my life. If God wants to bless me with some earthly stuff, that's fine. But if he'll just lead me through this world, I've got a million millenniums. I'm going to live somewhere. I'm going to live forever somewhere. And my choice is to imagine my own God one more time. Where he leads me, I will follow. Oh, hallelujah. If you sense his spirit at all, surrender to it. Because he's about to lead some of you to some of the greatest victories you've ever tasted.
Where he leads
me, I will follow.
And
I'll go with him. With him.
With him.
Oh. I want him to sing it one more time as we all stand. And I want you to tell yourself, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life worrying. Worrying has to come with, it comes with a doubt. It doesn't mean all of us are not real vulnerable to it. I'm a worry freak. So I know it firsthand. We'll follow where he leads. If you're standing by your mate or somebody that's close friend, take their hand or put your arm around them and make it plural. We're going to go with him.
With him.
Oh. Why don't you pray for one another now as they just play it softly? Thank you for this night, Jesus. Thank you for helping remind us that all the power structures of this world cannot redeem us. All the power structures of finance, great things in this world cannot save us. It's just by the wisdom of the Lord, by the word of the Lord. I'll go with you. All the way.
With you, all the
I wish you'd give somebody a big old Holy Ghost smile as if to say, he's still alive in my world. Let's greet one another with the joy of the Lord burning in our soul. He's alive evermore. He is with you. Whatever you're going through, he is still God, bigger than your problems.